Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Mr. Bean's Holiday?
This was an amazingly funny movie.
Yes.
I think that means you're two up from me now.
Well, I mean, if you're keeping score, but I'm not.
Who isn't? You're the only one not keeping score. Everyone else who's listening is just like, well, Justin's got better taste in movies. With the exception of that Flash Gordon thing, everything's gone well.
Hey, that Flash Gordon thing got us on Sci-Fi Remnant. Hey, guys.
Hi, guys. Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
So, that's still a point in my favor.
Dang it. 3 points ahead.
So, for those of you who don't know, we are discussing Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Which I thought was a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I had to explain to Chad, holiday as in the British European sense of vacation.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. So it's a 1997 standalone sequel to the Mr. Bean TV series and the first movie, Bean. And you don't need to see any of those to watch Mr. Bean's Holiday.
No.
But Mr. Bean is a character created by Rowan Atkinson and was on TV from 1990 to 1995. And he plays this very childlike individual. He has a very simplistic view of the world. And the beauty of Mr. Bean is he doesn't speak much. When he does speak, it's silly and, you know, mostly... his name, you know, not that he can't talk, it's just it plays to a universal appeal of I don't need to understand the language because it's a lot of physical comedy.
And brilliantly done.
Absolutely. The Three Stooges are physical comedy, but there's also verbal jokes that go along with it, so you miss some of it. Mr. Bean negates that by being 90% physical.
The only real spoken comedy for Bean is what's going on around him.
Yes. Stuff that he is then reacting to.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Bean's Holiday, like I said, is a sequel to the TV series and the first movie, and you don't need to watch either of them to enjoy this. Mr. Bean wins a raffle to an all-expense-paid trip to Cannes, France. He lives in London, by the way. He's a British citizen. And the first part of the movie is him winning the raffle and then taking the trip down to France and all that stuff. It's a lot of, and some of it's shot on like an old school home video camera. So it's very him playing with the camera and it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets to the platform and he's trying to make this movie of his trip. And he asks somebody to film him getting on the train. And he does. But a baggage cart goes in front of him. So he has to so he has them retape it, much to the chagrin of the individual. And two or three times, and finally, Bean is happy. He gets on the train, the doors close, and we see that this individual also wanted to get on the train, and his son is on the train already, and the train is taking off. And everybody is giving Bean the dirtiest look ever possible, because he knows what they know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible for separating this child inadvertently. But he's responsible.
Perception is stronger than reality.
Exactly. So, Bean tries to help this child. The child wants nothing to do with him. The child gets off at the next station because that's what his dad yelled to him as the train was pulling away. He gets off at the station, and Bean is still on the train at this point. He sees this drunk guy kind of come up and start to harass the kid. Bean runs off the train and, you know, shoos him away, leaving most of his stuff on the train.
My suitcase.
The train then, yeah, the train then leaves, so Bean has no suitcase. He has his camcorder and his
wallet and his memorandum book.
Yeah. And that's all he has. So the rest of the movie essentially is Bean trying to get this child back to his parents while also still getting to his destination of Cannes. The next train comes by but does not stop. It slows down a little bit, but the father's on it, so he's holding up a sign with a phone number to call. The last number is being hidden accidentally. They manage to copy down every number, and then Bean, in true fashion...
writes...
No, it's the last two numbers
last
that are,
two
that
numbers
are missing.
Because he
the
writes down numbers. 100 numbers that it could be.
Yeah, 0102, yeah, 0001, all the way to 99. And every time they get some spare change, they go to a phone booth and try to dial the next number to find this kid's parents.
My absolute favorite part of that gag is when they call and the parents are in the room, but it's the housekeeper's phone that rings.
Yes.
It's like, what? Oh.
No. So Bean, through the magic of Rowan Atkinson, becomes a street performer and gets some money, and they are able to buy some food and two bus tickets to Cannes,
mm-hmm.
where apparently this kid's father is also. Bean loses his bus ticket and is trying to chase it down, and the kid decides, you know what, I've had enough of this, and hitches a ride with a rock band that's heading down the road.
Bunch of street musicians.
So they get separated for a while. Bean ends up on a movie set. Well, it's a commercial set directed by Willem Dafoe.
And I'm just going to assume that that's actually who it is rather than Carson Clay.
Yeah, Carson Clay. It's Willem Dafoe.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up interrupting the scene. They make him an extra. He gets fired, but he befriends the lead actress in the film, in the thing. And she gives him a lift to Cannes because she's going to the film festival there.
Driving a very similar car to Mr. Bean's little mini.
Driving Mr. Bean's exact car.
Almost.
Almost.
It's a year different and the steering wheel's on the wrong side.
Yes. But for the most part, it's his car and it's a mini and he loves it. And, you know, he's enamored with it and her and it's great. They meet back up with the child. Now, the child speaks Russian.
Mm.
The girl speaks French. Bean speaks neither.
Bean speaks gracias.
Yes. And so... she is asking him questions, which we see the subtitles to. Oh, is this your son? See. And the kid is in the back going, hey, is this your girlfriend? See. And there's just this great language barrier that neither of them are getting through. Well, they're driving along. They stop for gas. And it's found out that the child's father is a renowned film director and a judge at the Cannes Film Festival, and they think his son has been kidnapped by Bean. So he's all over the news. And now she's been drug into it, too. So she gets back to the car and for the first time speaks English to him and goes, you are not this child's father?
No.
And they start to kind of put the pieces together. It's like, okay, fine. Let's just get out of here. They drive all through the night. They get to Cannes. She can go into the film festival, but because they don't have tickets, he and Bean and the kid can't. So they have to sneak in. Bean gets him into the theater, kind of backstage, to stay here. He's going to go find your dad. Hilarity ensues when he gets chased by security guards, ends up in the projection booth, fiddling with Defoe's film to make it better, really.
Well,
ends up on the stage. The family runs up. He's kidnapped our son. And then the son walks out from behind the screen at the finale of the movie. And everybody in the audience thinks this was all planned and it's great.
Considering that through the film, you see the audience getting progressively more and more bored.
Oh, yeah. At the film. Yeah.
You know, with the Defoe's, you know, magnum opus, and you just see more and more people like yawning and falling asleep, and the impetus then for the hooking Bean's camcorder up to things was because the girl's her part was cut out badly.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, her part was cut out, and she was very devastated. So he inserts her back into the film.
Mm-hmm.
The film ends with Bean finally making it to the beach, which was his ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this nice little montage of the family being reunited and the Carson Clay talking to reporters and film aficionados about this new style of camcorder filming that Bean actually did. All to the tune, a French song, which I don't know, but it's masterfully done, and I think honestly it's the last time that Mr. Bean is in an on-screen setting. You know, the character was kind of retired after that, so it's a nice send off to the character.
It, if you stick around till the end of the credits, you know, he writes into the sand, you know, Finn. Yep.
And it gets washed away by the waves. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, personally, if you're a fan of British comedy and you're a fan of Rowan Atkinson, this is a lovely movie to watch. Chad, what did you think?
It was very funny. It was one of those that I've liked the TV show, but I haven't seen the movies. My experience of Rowan Atkinson was from the Mr. Bean TV series, Rat Race, and Rowan Atkinson Live.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll admit I was a little bit hesitant. You know, how can you take Mr. Bean on a 90-minute journey, right? Because it seems like so much of the comedy of Mr. Bean is built around very short individual scenes. You know, whether it's the nativity set or whether it's, you know, building up the courage to jump off a high dive. Or, mm-hmm. you know, these kind of things. And so how do you make that into a long form thing? And they did it magnificently well by utilizing those short scenes and kind of pushing forward. So, like, for me, the certain scenes were just perfect Bean things. So when he wins the raffle, you know, the number 616 or 919, but he looks at his ticket and it says 616. And so he throws the ticket away, just disgusted. It lands on a train set and goes around and he sees it upside down. Or when he goes to the train station for the first time and they're like, oh, are you going to Cannes? Oui. You know. Yeah, and then they ask another question. He's like, non. And then you speak French very well. Gracias.
Gracias.
They're short little things. And then we got the scene that made the movie for me, that at that point I was like, all right, I'm in this for the long haul. This is going to be just something that I'm going to enjoy, and I know it, is he gets to France and he gets in the wrong taxi. Well, he tells the taxi where he wants to go. Then that taxi goes away. He gets in a different taxi that's been told where to go. And he ends up way in the wrong area. And he sets a compass by placing it on a map that is pointed up and down. Like, that there is no way that it works this way. But because it's Mr. Bean, it does work this way. And it shows him walking through the street. It shows him walking up and over benches and fountains and so forth. And
he is walking in a straight line and is not going to be stopped.
And to the point where when someone's in his way, he just stops and waits for the person to move. You know, he's walking down the middle of the street, traffic all over the place, the security cameras point, and then you go into like the police station where they're watching these cameras, like, should we do something about it? And they look, he's like, no, I think he's English. And he's just that's it. It's like, oh yes. What made it for my daughter was the scene he goes and has lunch because he misses the one train, but he's got time. So he goes to have lunch at a French restaurant. He can't read French. He doesn't speak French. He sees this. I paused the movie on the second time that we watched this scene to see if I could make sense of of the menu. And the calligraphy was so flowery, you can't actually read it.
Oh,
like I paused. I have a nice big TV set that I can kind of get real close and look at. And there are so many loops and swirls that it would probably take me a good 5 minutes to decipher what was on this if I read French. And the guy comes up and he's just like, in French says, may I recommend the seafood platter? Now, this is an inside joke, by the way, because if anybody who's seen the Mr. Bean TV series, there is one of those sketches where he gets very sick eating oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to this, and it is full shrimp, langoustines, and oysters. And he's looking at them, and the oysters are all slimy and buttery. God, it looks awful. But he eats one, gestures, the waiter comes out and looks expectantly like, is it good? He's just like, mwah, kissing the fingers, And then the waiter just stares at him until he eats another one. So he fakes eating them. So he's got all these sea slugs in his lap in a napkin, and he dumps them into the lady's purse.
Then sitting next to him, yeah.
And then eats the shrimp shell on all the way, from the tail all the way to the claw. I ended up watching that scene 5 times. My 7-year-old was so enamored with that scene. And we asked her, why is that so funny? And she stuck her hands straight out from her face and jumped around and said that was the part that did it, is watching the claws flail as he's trying to eat this thing. And he's shaking his head because he's eating chitin. Yeah. And it just, those two things put next to each other, and it's just, this is so funny. It is such a funny movie. The parts that make it not funny are so few and far between, they're not even really worth mentioning. In which, which is really just kind of the things is like, we didn't really need this, and again, I struggling to even come up with them. They were so unimportant to the plot. Willem Dafoe makes a perfect movie director in this. That stereotype of all in his own head and ego.
The kind of stereotypical American director trying to make a film worthy of the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah. And thinking that he has.
Yes.
Because it's all self-referential and slow and pondering and ponderous. And this is a good movie. It's a funny movie. It's a movie that even the acting is pretty on point for it. I think we misspoke earlier, though. I don't think it's a 97. I think the original Bean was 97 and this was 2007 because it was much later.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You are right, yes. Yeah, it is 2007. The 97, 97 was the original Bean movie, so my bad.
Well, because you can... I hesitate to say this one too loud. because you can see the difference in Rowan Atkinson's portrayal of Mr. Bean. You know, it is far slower in this one. Not that he's old, but that you can tell that his flexibility is not quite where it was, that his, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a scene where, so the movie commercial, or the commercial scene where he gets hired and then fired, you know, he's doing the goose stepping and looking for all intents and purposes like John Cleese in the Ministry of Silly Walks. But you can also kind of see that stiffness that's there. That's like, this isn't the Bean of 95.
No.
You know, that 12 years, you know, it has done some stuff. I don't think that he needed to retire it. Actually, I think Bean showed up one more time in a couple of things. But
yeah, but that was essentially why he retired the character from regular use, mm-hmm. was because he was getting older and the flexibility was getting harder.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, what a send-off. What a beautiful send-off. And absolutely worth the time. This is one of those movies that I'm probably going to end up trying to find to buy, you know, to put on. I don't know what scenarios will cause me to watch it other than I'm in a silly comedy mood. Anybody want to watch Mr. Bean's Holiday?
Yeah, that's all you need.
Because it's that kind of worth it. So.
All right.
Go forth, y'all.
All right. Well, I think it is your turn.
Is indeed. Got an idea.